We turn to the passage we read in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. And we shall read again verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 at verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. These words concern the Jews who were captive in Babylon. And yet these words have a message for the Lord's people in every generation. And the message is a message of grace. God is gracious to his own. Their experience here is varied. It may be a very difficult experience. It may cause them much heartache and sorrow, the things that happen to them in Providence. But grace is at work. And the Lord's people at times need to be reassured of that. And that is what the Lord was doing with regard to those who were captive in Babylon. Encouraging them that they might be steadfast, trusting in himself. God is our help. We have no other. Faith should be an exercise continually, looking to the Lord. That is the only way for God's people to survive in this world and to prosper in this world. And this is the wonder for God's people. They're in a hostile world, a Babylon. And yet by the grace of God, they may flourish. This is what we fear regarding our own society. It's becoming more and more of a Babylon for the church, for God's people. There's a hostility there toward the things of God. We find that false religion may be more favorably regarded than the gospel of Christ. Those who stand for righteousness, they're derided and they're threatened with various sanctions. If you speak up for the morality of the Word of God, you may face difficulty in your employment. You may indeed be removed from your place of employment. These things come when a culture that was once leavened by the gospel casts off the things of God, goes from light into the darkness, and there is the enmity of man. It's always there in the heart of man, and it finds expression in persecuting the people of God. This world is a Babylon for God's people. And sometimes that is felt very much by them. The Lord's people in Babylon might tend to discouragement, to be sorrowful regarding their situation. They have to remember that in many respects they have brought it upon themselves by their disobedience. The Lord was chastising his people for their disobedience. But he had not ceased to love them. And it is seen in his dealings with them, even in this chapter. They were there in Babylon. That was of the Lord. They were to reckon on a lengthy stay. It would be 70 years, despite what the false prophets among them were saying, trying to persuade them that they would only be there for a short time. The Lord had said, 70 years, that's how long your exile will be. But what were they to do there? What would the Lord have them do? Well, through Jeremiah and his letter, verse 5, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that they ye may be increased there and not diminished. Live as you ever have done. Live there in Babylon. The life that I call my people to live, in many respects the same life as those around you, but live according to my word. Live for my glory. Be my witnesses there. Show forth my praise there. And even this, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. They were to seek God's blessing for those they were among. It is with the Lord as to what blessing he might grant. But they were to pray for that and to seek that. And there are lessons here for the church in our day. We may be in a hostile society, but we are to continue to fulfill the calling we have from God, to serve Him, to live godly in this present world, to serve Him in fear and love, and to seek the good of those around us. God's people bear testimony to the Lord by their lives. Upright lives. Humble lives. Keeping themselves unspotted from the world. Showing forth the praises of Him who has called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. God's people having a joy in their hearts, and able to look forward in confidence, knowing that the Lord is with them, the Lord loves them, and the Lord has blessing for them in time and in eternity. This is our calling, if we are the Lord's, even in the generation in which the Lord has been pleased to place us. The Lord gave His people encouragement, even in their difficulty. Well, what is our encouragement in such a day as this? What does the Lord have to say to us? Well, from our text, let us note three things with the Lord's help. And the first is this, the purpose of God. The purpose of God. At the beginning of the text, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Now, they are wonderful words. We may not appreciate that on the first reading. But remember, this is God, Jehovah, the covenant God, the God who has bound Himself to His people, the God who is for them whom He has chosen, and will do all good unto them. It is this God who is uttering these words, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Now, we are so often taken up with our own purposes, with the desires that we have, speaking about the Lord's people, and we forget that God has His purpose, and that God's purpose is supreme. He is Lord of all. This creation is His creation. And He is working out His eternal purpose in it. He's glorifying His own name. And it is the duty of God's people to submit to God's purpose, to God's will. Grace enables us to do that. And this is our blessedness. If we're always wondering at what the Lord is doing, if we're tempted indeed to find fault with what the Lord is doing, we rob ourselves of so much. And we're doing wrong in any case. What are we in all our frailty and fallenness to be a complaining about what the Lord is doing, as though there was something amiss in the purpose of God? We only have to consider the matter for a moment to realize the folly of such an attitude. But it is there in our hearts at times. It does rise up. It may find expression. But to remember that God is the only wise God, and God knows what He is about, and God, having decreed everything, God is bringing everything to pass. Now, the Lord had revealed to the captives something of His purpose, that they were being sent into exile for their disobedience as a people, and they would be there 70 years, and then after 70 years, they would be delivered and returned to Jerusalem. God had revealed that to them. And in the same way, the Lord has revealed His great purpose to His people, that we're here for our span of years, 70 years, perhaps, similar to the captivity of God's people in Babylon. And then He will take His own to the New Jerusalem. That's His purpose. He's calling His people here. He's building them up in grace. He's making them holy and fruitful to His glory. And when He's finished that purpose in the life of each one of His own, He calls them up higher. He takes them to their eternal rest. But the details, the experience, the providences, all that would happen for those captives in Babylon over that 70 years, that was not revealed. They were to trust Him and to wait upon Him and in meekness to submit to God's dealings with them. Well, there's a lesson for us, is there not? If we have the assurance of God's salvation, if we know that our sins are forgiven and we are right with God and we're on the narrow way that leads to eternal life, that should be sufficient for us. And we should leave the rest to God. believing that he is not only wise, but infinite in his loving kindness. And that all that he does in our lives, in our experience, is for the best. Trials, sorrows, these things may be in your cup. You may have much of these things. And when that is your experience, it can be a great comfort simply to hear these words from the Lord. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. That God would think upon us at all. What a wonderful thing. And that God would think upon us in love, with a loving purpose toward us. Well, that is everything. Trust in the Lord. Hold on to that. The promise of God's blessed purpose with respect to your life. That's how the Lord's people ought to be, living in the Babylon of this world. And we have those words in John's account of the gospel, which are also precious in this context. Christ with the disciples in the upper room before his crucifixion, and at the supper, and then Christ taking the towel and the basin and washing the disciples' feet. And he comes to Simon Peter, and this is what Simon Peter says to the Lord. Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Things that happen, things that the Lord does in our experience, we may know little of the purpose of them at the time, what they are achieving for us. But we are to see them in the light of this great purpose of God, the salvation of his people and their preparation for heaven, holiness unto the Lord. Is that your great aim in life? To be like Christ. It's only possible by grace and a saving union with Christ by faith. But that is the way in which the Lord takes his people to heaven, making them holy as he is holy. The purpose of God. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Let us be thankful for God's eternal purpose worked out in the life of each one of his people. Secondly, we have here the peace of God. He goes on, thoughts of peace and not of evil. The Lord has thoughts of peace and not of evil toward his people. And we wonder perhaps why that needs to be said. How could the Lord ever have thoughts of evil toward his people? How could he ever have any intention or thought of doing anything to them that could be called evil? Far be it from God God is good, and his thoughts toward his own are thoughts of peace. But remember the situation of God's people here. They're in Babylon, hostile Babylon. They might expect difficulty there, opposition, mockery. They might be distressed at times and very cast down in their souls. They might be tempted to think, evil has come upon us. The Lord has rejected us. Such thoughts may come into our hearts in times of trouble, when the going is hard, when we have no light, when perhaps the joy of the Lord has disappeared out of our hearts. All we can see is the difficulty, and we begin to become mournful and to be cast down. And we get into that situation where we begin to conclude that the Lord has no love toward us. Perhaps we're not one of the Lord's at all. He seems so far away, so distant, not understanding our situation, not appreciating our sufferings. The devil gets in. He's always looking for an opening, and all too easily we give him one, and he seizes the opportunity, and he works upon our thoughts. And as ever, the evil one will show us one side of things, and he'll obscure the other side. And if we do not keep to the word of God, if we do not go to the scriptures, then we'll be drawn away by the devil, away from our blessedness. God was reassuring his people, even there in Babylon, my thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace, not of evil. What I am doing for a wise purpose. I am doing it for your good. You have dishonored me. You have grieved me. And I must show you my displeasure. I must make you aware of your sin. But be reassured, I am with you there in Babylon. And my purpose will be worked out during your captivity. And you will see my hand and what I have accomplished at the end. And the Lord gives tokens to us that we are his. And a true believer will never utterly lose those tokens. He'll always have something in his soul to reassure him that God has begun the good work, and God will continue it, and God will finish it. Thoughts of peace. Well, do you not have that in your heart? If you are one of the Lord's children, great shall be the peace of God's children. Abundant peace. That is ordinarily how it is. Even in the midst of great trials and suffering and the sorrow that these things bring. peace with God. We're not at peace with the world. And the Jews in Babylon could not be at peace with that ungodly heathen people. But as believers, we have peace with God. That is the most important thing. That is the thing we should all be desiring. What is peace with God? It's the peace that was made by the Lord through the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus. The peace that flows from his atonement. The peace that has to do with our reconciliation. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for the sins of his people when he died at Calvary. He blotted out all our transgressions. And in time, in the gospel, God calls us. He brings us nigh. We trust in Christ. And in him is our peace. If you have not believed to the saving of your soul, you cannot have peace with God. God has a controversy with you. Your guilt remains. And you need to go in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is salvation. And trusting in him, you will enjoy at peace with God. And the same God, in his covenant, favors his people, even in their troubles and difficulties, with his peace, the peace of God, guarding their hearts, keeping them in this sinful world, giving them the knowledge that whatever their situation, the great matter of their soul's salvation is settled. Friend, do you have that? Are you confident regarding that? Peace of God in your soul, a token from the Lord that you are a justified sinner, reckoned righteous by God, having a standing, having a title, having the assurance of eternal life. Peace that God's people have in their hearts now is an indication for them of eternal peace and rest, that which they will enjoy in the world to come because of Christ Jesus. Like the Jews there in Babylon, we've disobeyed the Lord. We've merited his chastisement. Lovingly, he has dealt with us, corrected us for our faults. Lovingly, he has watched over us. And we are kept by his power unto eternal life. The peace of God. Do you have it in your heart here today? Or is there still that fear, your conscience speaking to you of unconfessed sin, of a broken relation to God, and that you need to come even as you are unto the Lord? pleading the name of Jesus Christ, taking refuge in his precious blood. Well, finally, we have the promise of God, the promise of God, to give you an expected end. God's thoughts toward his people, thoughts of peace, and to give them an expected end. Literally, an end and expectation. Expectation in the sense of a hope. A hope. And the Jews in Babylon had a hope. And it was the hope of deliverance. They may be there for many years. And those years may seem long. And at times very difficult for them. And their longing was to be returning to Jerusalem. Well, they had a ground for their hope, the promise of God. 70 years and you will return. 70 years and I will deliver you and I will take you home. God would bring it about by his own wisdom and mighty power. Well, can you see in that the situation of God's people? Your own situation as a believer? Your life goes on, and in many ways, day after day, it's just a repetition. You face temptation. You have doubts and fears. There's a challenge of obedience. There's the calling to trust in God and to be fruitful for the Lord, to serve him with gladness. And these things continue in your experience. Sometimes there are things that happen that change the pattern of your life. Things that are profound. Things that you do not wish to see. And we all have our portion of such things. Maybe to do with our family, maybe to do with our partner in life, maybe to do with our own health, maybe to do with our temporal affairs, our temporal estate. All these matters. But are we holding on to the hope of the gospel? The hope that we have in Jesus Christ, a blessed hope. And what is that hope? Well, as the Jews were promised that the Lord would take them home to Jerusalem, the Lord has promised to his own that he will take them to the new Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem was in the hearts of God's people. It was so much a part of their lives, part of their being as a people, the people of God. What of the New Jerusalem? A Jerusalem above, the eternal city, the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, the celestial city, the heavenly city. Is that where your heart is, even now? That's how it should be. Are we walking with God? Our eyes set upon Christ? Are our hearts, our affections upon things above? These things are marks of God's people. The lives of God's people in Babylon, in many respects, just like those around them. In terms of daily matters. But they were living for the Lord. That was their calling. They were living by grace. They were living in hope. And that is a witness. It speaks of the love of God and of the promise of God. Are we children of promise? Do we have the spirit of promise? And are our lives showing forth God's promise as we live, even going about our daily routine? Do we have the joy of the Lord? Peace in our hearts and a living hope. These things we should have by grace. If we have trusted in Christ Jesus. Pilgrims here. Are you living a pilgrim life? What does that mean? It means that you understand that your home is not here. You're passing through. You're going from one place to another. Now that is true of all. We live in time, we fulfill our years, and then we enter eternity, all of us. But what will be at the end of our sojourn? Put it this way. Do we have an expected end? What end do we expect? What end do you expect? And remember, the end may come sooner than you think. We cannot say. We must be ready. What are you expecting? When you leave this world, as you must, do you have the expectation, do you have the hope, the sure hope of going to God? Going to God as one who has loved you, given his Son for your redemption, blessed you by his Spirit, to dwell in perfect fellowship with him, in loving fellowship with him. That's the expectation of God's people. But if you are not in Christ Jesus, if you have not put your trust in Christ and his sacrifice for sin, then you can only expect an eternity of woe, to meet with God's justice, to be punished for your sin. We all deserve that. And that is what we must expect if we're outside of Christ. But here is the hope of God's people. One that the Lord has given them, based on His promise. Is it one that we have? If we do, then let us be thankful to God and praising His name for such mercy and grace to us poor unworthy sinners. If we do not have it, then we must begin here with repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ, this blessed hope will be our hope. Deliverance to come at the end of our days, out of all our troubles and sorrows, the Lord taking us home to heaven. Perfect peace and joy and love. May God bless His word to us. Let us pray. O Lord God, we confess our unworthiness to Thee. We are sinners by nature and by practice. Even as Thy people, we so often go astray. We thank Thee for Thy dealings with us. And we thank Thee that they are all tinged with Thy mercy. And we're able to believe, because of Thy word, that Thou art accomplishing good for Thine own. And Thou art preparing them for their glorious inheritance. Bless us each one. Deal with us according to our need, and glorify Thy name. And all we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.